glory be to God. Thank God for the word. Thank God for redemption. Thank God for faith in Christ. The word is working. The word is alive. The word has worked. The word is working, and the word will continue to work. Hallelujah. God's word is a living thing. God's word is a person. God's word is a person. The Bible says in John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was God. The word is Christ. John 1:14, and the word became flesh, and the word became flesh, and the word became flesh, and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Glory to God. You're welcome to another episode on the Everyday with Jesus broadcast. This is episode 78, and we've been studying metaphors for salvation, sanctification. Yesterday we saw how that we've been set apart onto the work of ministry. We've seen from scriptures, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, how that sanctification is not just for the sake of it. When things are set apart, or men are set apart to God, it is for a specific work or assignment. See that in the ministry of Jesus, Jesus spoke of himself as the one whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world. And I said the sanctification was for a specific work. In fact, this is vividly captured at Hebrews chapter 10. Look at this carefully. Hebrews chapter 10. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10. Jesus captures the essence of his sanctification. At Hebrews 10 from verse 5, Bible says, therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will. It is in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offering for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them which are offered according to the law. Behold, I have come to do your will, O God. I have come to do your will. You see, verse 5 says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. Hallelujah. That is, you've set me apart for a task. You've provided a body for a particular purpose. He says, I have come to do your will. It is written of me in the volume of the book. And the volume of the book there speaks of the Old Testament scriptures, the prophets, the law. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will. Hallelujah. So Jesus understood that he was set apart for a particular assignment, to die for the sins of the world and to rise again for our justification. Jesus knew well that he had a mission, a task, an assignment to fulfill. And that informed how he went about his life. That informed how committed he was. That informed his priority. That informed his choices. That informed his relationship, his associations. Glory be to God. And that's exactly how our sanctification is meant to inform everything we do today as believers. We are set apart unto the work of ministry. Sanctification is being set apart and being consecrated for service. So God has called us unto himself. He has set us apart for the sake of service. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. Bible says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has ordained beforehand that we should walk in them. So God has set apart works to be done. Good works. Good works. Specific assignments. Things to be done. And then he fashioned us. He ordained us. He created us in Christ Jesus for those works. So we have been set apart from the rest of the world unto divine assignments. Hallelujah. Unto the work of ministry. Glory be to God. And you see, this is the essence of Bible study. You see, many times when people say, I've been studying my Bible. How does this really apply to my life, my business, my finances, my this and that? You know, how does this translate into job promotion and things like that? They are distracted from the main reason for Bible study. Now, why not disputing the fact that God's word is able to bring about a change in your relationship, for instance, maybe in your marriage, in how you conduct yourself in your marriage, in your relationships, you know, with your parents and all that. Of course, when it comes to things that have to do with your attitude, your conduct, God's word is able to change your life. Why? Because the fruit of the Spirit is about conduct. So the man that walks in the love of God, walks in long-suffering, patience, kindness, and all that, is able to have a meaningful relationship, is able to, you know, bear with others, is able to forgive. So God's word brings about a change, a transformation in how you conduct yourself in relationships. Hallelujah. Even in the area of business, God's word is, you know, is able to strengthen your heart, make you strong enough to weather every storm. Hallelujah. Make you strong enough to weather every storm. You know, endurance is needed to build businesses and to succeed. So, in the area of conduct, God's word is able to strengthen you, give you the right attitudes towards life, how to respond to things and all that. However, you see, the essence of Bible study is to mature in the faith, to grow up in the faith, which of which conduct, the fruit of the Spirit, is a major part. So we mature in the faith, and then, apart from our spiritual maturity, it is to equip us for every good work. So the focus of Bible study, eventually, is to make us effective ministers of the gospel. Praise God. Effective ministers of the gospel. That's the essence of Bible study. Why? Because this is the reason why we have been sanctified. We have been sanctified and called, set apart to a particular work, a ministry that is meant to be filled. Hallelujah. So you see that the essence of the ministry gift is for equipping the saints for the work of ministry, which is also the essence of Bible study. So let me show you two portions of scriptures together simultaneously. Ephesians chapter 4, glory to God. Ephesians 4, I'll read from verse 11. Praise God. Ephesians 4 from verse 11. Bible says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for equipping the saints for the work of ministry. The word equipping there is the word that means training, for training and nurturing the saints for the work of ministry. So ministry gifts are meant to develop ministry gifts. Glory to God. Ministry gifts are meant to develop ministry gifts in the saints. Ministry gifts are meant to develop ministry gifts in the saints. Ministers of the gospel are meant to produce ministers of the gospel. That's the essence of Bible study. That is the primary focus. That is the ultimate goal of Bible study. So if you have found every other thing while studying scriptures and you have missed out on this particular one, you have lost everything. Hallelujah. You've lost everything with respect to profiting from scriptures. You've missed out on everything with respect to profiting from scriptures, because it is about equipping you to be an effective minister of the gospel. So I said I'm going to show you two portions. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, glory to God. So the ministry gifts are for equipping us for the work of ministry, because this is the essence of our sanctification. We've been set apart for the work of ministry, and we are required to fulfill our ministry. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'll read from verse 16. Bible says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That the man of God may be equipped, hallelujah, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So you see, so Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says ministry gifts are for equipping the saints for the work of ministry. At 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, the same Paul says the scriptures are given for the same purpose. So that tells you that the ministry gifts employ the scriptures for the equipping of the saints. In order for them to carry out their work effectively, they must rely only on the scriptures. So I said to you that the essence of Bible study is to make you an effective minister of the gospel. Listen. If you have been focusing on many other things, and that's the reason why you are getting tired of Bible study, and you are getting tired and bored by the day, it's a time for you to repent. The essence of tuning into Every Day with Jesus every day is to make out of you an effective minister of the gospel. The reason why you go to church for service every day is so that you become better in doing the good works that God has set you apart unto. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Glory to God. You see, if you don't have this focus, you'll be tired of Bible study very soon. You won't see the essence of going through scriptures, having rigorous study, investigating the Bible, and scrutinizing text of the Bible and trying to find out what the Bible is saying. You won't appreciate all those efforts. You won't appreciate any attempt at being academic and rigorous and studious with the word of God. You won't appreciate it, because your focus is on other things. It's about what you stand to gain materially. Your focus is on how God's word applies to your business, how God's word can bring you more money. Your focus is not on the focus of the scriptures, which is for equipping you for the work of ministry, equipping you for every good work that God has ordained for you in Christ Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10. Look at this quickly. Hebrews 10. Why do we attend church services? To become better as effective ministers of the gospel. Hebrews 10 verse 25. I'll start from verse 24. Glory to God. Bible says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Verse 24 says, let us consider one another in order to do what? To stir up love and good works. Hallelujah. In our meetings, we become better and better placed and better positioned as effective ministers of the gospel. In our meetings, we become better in ministering to God, better in ministering to the saints, better in ministering to the world. We become better equipped in service, or better equipped for service in our meetings. Hallelujah. That's the essence. When you come to church for, you know, when you come for church service or church meeting, you should live as a better equipped person. Better equipped person, better placed person for the work of ministry. Glory be to God. Because that's the focus of Bible study. So, again, I'll say that sanctification is unto the work of ministry. We have been set apart to do the work of ministry. And just as we saw yesterday, everywhere in scriptures, where you see men set apart unto God, it is for a particular purpose, a particular work. For instance, the prophets of old, they were set apart unto God for a particular purpose. Hallelujah. Bible refers to them as holy men of God. Bible says no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Why were they referred to as holy men of God? Men of God that were set apart. Men set apart unto God. They were referred to as holy men of God. You also find the phrase holy prophets. Why were they referred to as holy prophets? Because they were false prophets. So they were prophets that were set apart by God for a particular reason. To prophesy concerning the sufferings of Christ and the glories that will follow. So they had a particular task. Now let's come to the ministry of Jesus. From the inception, Jesus defined the essence of discipleship. Mark chapter 1, the essence. Mark chapter 1, look at this from verse 14. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Look at verse 16. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Hallelujah. Jesus did not say, I'm going to make you prosperous. He didn't say, I'm going to give you good health. Though all those things can come in the picture. But that was not the bait. Hallelujah. He didn't call them. He didn't entice them. By anything that had to do with the flesh, that by anything that had to do with their appetites, by anything that had to be do with fleshly expectation. No, he told them point blank, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Glory be to God. I'm going to make you fishers of men. Now, eventually, in their relationship, Jesus catered for their needs, right? He catered for their needs. But then, that was not the selling point, in quote. That was not the bait. That was not the reason why he called them. I'm going to make you fishers of men. The truth of the matter is, if it was about, being prosperous in life, it was about getting food and clothing and shelter and all that, the disciples could get it elsewhere. The only thing they can't find elsewhere is salvation and ministry. Those things are exclusive to Christ. Hallelujah. They're exclusive to Christ. And then you see that all through the ministry of Jesus, the emphasis was on seeking laborers. The emphasis was on getting more people committed to the work. Jesus had 12 disciples. At some point, he grew to 70. He sent them all out for the work of ministry. Glory to God. When he was sending out 70 men, he said, see, the harvest is plenty, the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of harvest to send laborers into his field. And then you notice also that the final words of Jesus to the apostles actually showed that, the essence of having the Spirit of God, the essence of being saved now that you are saved, the reason why you remain on the face of the earth is because there's work that is yet to be done. There's work yet to be done. There's work, there's a task, there's an assignment that God has called you onto. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28 verse 18 to 20. Glory to God. Matthew 28 verse 18 to 20. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at this now. Bible says, And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." All authority is given to me. Go and make babies. No. Go and have promotion. No. Go and get a good job. No. See, go and teach. Make disciples of all men. Hallelujah. Make disciples of all nations. Look at Mark 16, verse 15 to 20. You notice that the emphasis of Jesus is on ministry, fulfilling the ministry, doing the work of ministry. Apparently, this is the only thing Jesus can emphasize, because he himself was sold out to the work of ministry. Praise God. Jesus didn't live his life, you know, to just gratify himself. He wasn't just living his life to meet his own needs. No, he was living his life. He says, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." And this is why, if you carefully study through the ministry of Jesus, you discover that it de-emphasized every other thing. It de-emphasized every other thing. It talked down on many things. And then it was emphatic on the necessity of service, of availing oneself to, you know, to the work of ministry for kingdom use. Praise God. It's Jesus that said that the man that wants to follow him must first deny himself. He must hate himself, hate his father, hate his mother, and even hate his own life. Otherwise, he's not worthy of him. Imagine such statements. Of course, Jesus wasn't meaning that we should hate people, we should start hating on people. Jesus taught to love our enemies. It was a language of preference, a language of preference, a language of priority, that the man must prioritize and treasure service to Christ above every other thing. Glory be to God. He must prioritize it. He must be found prioritizing service. So Jesus de-emphasized many other things, and he emphasized a need to serve. Mark 16 from verse 15. Mark 16, 15. Bible says, and he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Are you aware that everything he mentioned as signs following, though we can be beneficiaries of those things, you are going to experience those things much more as you avail yourself to the work of ministry. In fact, if you look through scriptures very well, there was never a time when the disciples of Jesus were shown to be casting out demons from themselves. The only times the disciples were portrayed or shown as casting out demons, it was from others. They were sent out with power to cast out demons from those that were on the outside. Disciples themselves were free from demon possession. Praise God. They were not even saved then, but they were free. Jesus was not casting out demons from any of his disciples. He gave them power over demons. Praise God. So the believer has been endued with power today, not to be casting out demons from himself, is to set men free from the oppression of the devil. Hallelujah. Concerning Jesus, as Acts 10:38, Bible says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." So Jesus went about casting out devils. Glory to Jesus. Casting out devils. And the man that will be casting out devils today must also emulate Jesus in his pattern of ministry. He must be dedicated to the work of ministry. It's in ministry you see much more of casting out devils. Hallelujah. Other things in Mark chapter 16 rather, may apply to you. For instance, "They shall take up any deadly thing, it will by no means, you know, hurt them. They shall drink any deadly thing, it will hurt them. They take up serpents and all that, laying hands on the sick." So you can pray for yourself as a sick person. But then you notice that even at that, you will see more of demonstration of healing power when you avail yourself to the work of ministry. You won't be using healing power on yourself every time. I mean, how many times do you want to fall sick? Praise God. So it is seen much more in the environment of ministry. That's why verse 19, look at this, verse 19 to 20, Mark 16. "So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs." Amen. Have you seen? The signs he just mentioned is what Bible says was following these guys as they went about doing the work of ministry. So they didn't receive the mandate and, you know, the excitement of, wow, we have the power of God now. And then they just sat down in their houses and then they were just enjoying the power of God. That's how a lot of Christians are. All that they received in Christ is just for their own benefits. I'm walking in power. I'm walking in miracle. Now, I'm not saying that's the reason why the song was composed, but that's the way a lot of Christians sing it. It's with the mindset of, see, I'm just enjoying the favor of God. I'm just enjoying everything for myself. The gospel is not just something you enjoy. It is good news to take to others in the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So our sanctification is for the work of ministry. And that's why Jesus' emphasis is on ministry. Praise God. Have you noticed also that everywhere the Spirit of God is mentioned, mostly in the New Testament, it's in connection with either being saved or doing the work of ministry. It's in connection with either being saved, now that the Spirit is the agency of our salvation, or now that the Spirit has come, has been given to us, we have been endued with power to do the work of ministry. Praise God. Look at Luke chapter 24. Glory be to God. Luke 24, I begin to close now. Luke chapter 24. Glory to God. I'll read from verse 46. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Power to do what? To be witnesses. So that's why when you turn your Bibles to Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 8, look at what Jesus says. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you shall be witnesses. You receive power to become witnesses. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles chapter 2, the prophecy of Joel. Acts of Apostles chapter 2 from verse 16, Bible says, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and on my maid servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Have you seen again? The Spirit comes upon men and they begin to prophesy. We know according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, glory to God, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that the man that prophesies speaks edification and comfort to men. So prophecy is a form of ministry. Glory be to God. Prophecy is a form of ministry. 1 Corinthians 14:3. Prophecy is a form of ministry. Bible says, he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. That's why when God spoke through the prophet Joel concerning the giving of the Spirit, he associates the Spirit with the work of ministry. He says, they shall prophesy. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus also mentions how the Spirit was given to him for a specific task. Luke 4:18, and he was quoting prophet Isaiah. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Have you seen? The Spirit was given for a specific task. It was anointed to heal. It was anointed to preach the gospel. Acts 10:38 that I quoted earlier, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. In the Old Testament, generally, the Holy Ghost came upon men. The Holy Ghost was given to men, was upon them, not indwelling, was upon them for specific tasks and assignments. For some, they became judges. For some, they became prophets. For some, kings. For some, priests. Hallelujah. But you see that it's always in connection with the work of ministry. Glory be to God, with the work of ministry. Let me say this as I close. The man that is not doing the work of ministry, that is not deliberately and intentionally setting himself apart to the work of ministry, is not walking in his consecration. He's not walking in sanctification. Hallelujah. And the man that is doing the work of ministry is the man that will see a need for a deeper walk in consecration. How many of you realize that if you find yourself preaching, sharing the gospel with some people, or you find yourself trying to minister healing to people, trying to, pray for others and all that, how many of you realize that those things drive you to study more? They drive you to pray more. They drive you to spend more time with the things of the Spirit. You know why? You always find a need. You always find a need to do more. You always find a need to be more effective. The more you do the work of ministry, the more you find a need to always depend on God, depend on His Spirit, depend on His power. You will run into difficulties, situations, challenges, tough times that would make you realize that, see, you need to pray more. You need to spend more time in the Word of God. So it is the man that gives himself to the work of ministry that finds a reason to be more consecrated. Hallelujah. That's why when you find believers who are not ministry conscious, their spiritual life, their spiritual commitment is always very funny. They have no fervency. And they don't even feel a need to be fervent. Why? Because there's just no need. Praise God. It is ministry. It is service. Having responsibility over others that makes you realize you need to pray more. You need to study more. When people ask you questions you can't answer, you go back to your Bible to study. Praise God. So it is ministry that informs a deeper level of consecration. The man that is not given to the work of ministry will never find a reason to be more consecrated. That's why when you say you are going on a retreat, the person is asking you, hope nothing is wrong. Because he can't understand it. He can't relate with it. Because there's absolutely no need for retreat. When it's about, you know, just getting a car and all those, you don't need a retreat to get all that. Praise God. You don't need a retreat to get all those good things of life. You can be in a meeting, somebody just gives a word, and then, you know, it gives a word about getting a job, and you get it just like that, without any consecration. But for you to become an effective minister of the gospel, then you need your own retreat. Hallelujah. You need retreats. You need personal time with the word of God for you to be an effective minister of the gospel of Christ. So it is the man that gives himself to ministry that understands consecration. Glory be to God. We'll continue from here next week. Don't forget to tune in, 7 a.m. every day with Jesus, Monday to Saturday. Glory be to God. And don't forget to go to church also. Go attend church service tomorrow. Do your best to be found in the gathering of the saints. Perhaps you are in a place where there's no sound local church, as it were. A place where the word of God is taught in its simplicity and clarity and purity. I would still advise you to find a church to attend. Hallelujah. Find a place you can go, you know, where, of course, not everything done in the service will be erroneous. So you could sing along with them. When it's time to hear the preaching of God's word, make sure you're attentive. Make sure you are vigilant also. And then you're checking if the things that are said so. I don't subscribe to this idea of staying at home because there's no church around. There's no sound church around. Find a place to go. Now, if it is so terrible and so bad that you know that, see, it's better to not go. Praise God. You know, there are incidences like that, cases like that. I would encourage you to go for street evangelism. Reach out to people. Go to a nearby field. Preach to somebody. Preach to people. Get them talking in tongues and pray together. You could start a mini fellowship. Make sure you are not just idle staying at home on Sunday. It is for your own good. Praise God. Make sure you find a place. Make sure you find an alternative in all the options I have given you. Glory be to God. So, don't forget to tune in on Monday. Invite your friends, relatives, colleagues, classmates, schoolmates, and let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great weekend of being full of the Word, full of the Holy Ghost, full of prayers, spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.